So 12 months has passed since the media and entertainment magazine Encore launched its survey of the popularity ratings of Australian personalities. It's been designed as a research tool for TV programmers and advertising agencies to use when selecting celebrities to use for TV shows or as the face of a brand or something like that. Brooke Hempel is the editor of Encore, and she's here to tell us a bit about the latest survey and the results. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Brooke.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about how you do it first.
So effectively, we surveyed this year 3,500 members of the Australian public. Each person completed an 8-minute survey where they were shown 100 images with corresponding names of personalities. So they're asked firstly, do you know who this person is? Do you recognise them? And then they rank them on a scale of one of my favourites to I hate them. And then based on that, we have a formula that kind of calculates what order we put the personalities in. And so at the very top of the list, you've got people who have a really high recognition score and a really high positive score. And then right down the bottom, you've got people who've got a really high recognition score and a really high negative score.
So we've got Hugh Jackman again figuring as our most recognisable favourite sort of celebrity. And at the bottom, we've got Kyle Sanderlands, the, you know, FM radio shock jock. But what were a few of the surprises?
I guess probably the biggest surprise for us was this year, for the first time, we went back into the field after we did the initial survey and we measured sentiment. So we actually went back to the people and said, why? Why do you feel this way about Hugh Jackman? And why do you feel this way about Kyle? And what's really interesting is the words that keep popping up again and again in the top 10 and in the bottom 10. So in the bottom 10, it's everyone is arrogant, they're rude, they're overexposed, a couple of people are famous for just being famous. But whereas in the top 10, it's, you know, these people are great actors or they're great this or they're, you know, really well loved because they're Australian treasures and their skills and that sort of thing.
So it's more about what they do, their craft, their abilities that mark them above the rest of us, I suppose.
And that they're relatable and they're down to earth. And there was a few people saying, you know, comments on Rebecca Gibney, she's the mum you've always wanted to have and that sort of thing, compared to Tom Waterhouse, who's in the bottom 10, who people are calling a mummy's boy. So
It's interesting to see two new entries in the bottom 10, which is Tom Waterhouse and Lara Bingle, proving that all publicity is not good publicity.
Yeah, and particularly for those two, the overexposed thing came up a lot. And Lara obviously had her reality show on Channel 10 in the last 12 months, which has probably increased her recognition score because of that. And then that's put her in the bottom 10.
Does the top 10 at all indicate also a kind of boring index, I'm wondering? Because a lot of them, I mean, Hugh Jackman, I really respect him as an actor, but he's not a person who excites me much.
No, and I think as well, the people in the top 10, they've never done anything terribly controversial or bad, so that it's kind of kept them in our good graces.
So the top 10 are Hugh Jackman, Rebecca Gibney, Olivia Newton-John, Ando, Magda Zubanski, Cate Blanchett, Hamish Blake, Jeffrey Rush, Simon Baker and Toni Collette. Solid, as you say, maybe even a tad boring, Jason.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, the people at the bottom of the list are far more entertaining than, and people were quite, when we asked them about how they felt about the bottom 10, some of them were a bit torn, that people were sort of saying, oh, you know, Kyle Sanderlands, he's rude and he's arrogant, but strangely likable. And so people are like, I know he's not a great guy, but, you know, I watch him anyway.
Well, he's still getting those big contracts, so I think something's working for him. That shtick does work very well.
Well, Brooke Hempel, thank you very much for coming in and explaining your list on our list.
It's my pleasure.
Brooke Hempel is the managing editor of Encore magazine.
Well, now to Doctor Who. The iconic British sci-fi series celebrates its 50th anniversary this year. And this week, the current Doctor, Matt Smith, announced he was retiring, which started a whole heap of speculation about who the next Doctor will be.
There's been some criticism of the casting over the years, saying that overall it's thunderingly racist.
Yeah. Will it be another white guy in his 30s? Well, to help us ponder and speculate over this is Tama Lever, who researches and teaches internet communications at Curtin University and has a special interest in science fiction. Tama, tell us, has Matt Smith left the role of Doctor Who in good shape?
I think Matt Smith has been a fantastic Doctor, far, far better than many people probably expected coming in, because he was a relative unknown. It's certainly true that between him and Stephen Moffat, the show has done incredibly well and for the first time is incredibly popular in America in a way that perhaps it has never been before.
Now, Stephen Moffat is the guy who's writing the scripts at the moment.
That's right, yes.
Perhaps because it's really popular in America, do you think that the series will need to kind of think outside the box when it comes to casting the next Doctor? I mean, are we going to see our first black Doctor or female Doctor?
I think the impetus to consider a doctor as being someone other than sort of a white male figure is probably coming more internally from the British audience, which has tapered off a little bit in the last few years. I think for the American market, the doctor being sort of a white British-sounding man is actually one of the major selling points. So I think it's a hard balance to strike. And I think the idea of a female doctor, for example, is intriguing. And they could do some really interesting things with that. There's certainly nothing in the canon of the show that suggests that the doctor can't change genders. But at the same time, a pretty hard sell to the fan base. Although, to be fair, every time they announce the next actor to play the Doctor, people usually throw their hands in the air and say, that'll never work, and then 5 months later, like, oh, it works really well, we just didn't realise.
Best Doctor ever.
Yeah, but look, can we just backtrack a bit? What the hell is going on with this series? I mean, there's the whole River Song thing, which I don't get. There's the whole Amy Pond and now this new one who he's sort of half kissing and stuff. And now John Hurt has appeared as what? Like some sort of eternal spirit of Doctor Who. I mean, where's it at?
Do you want me to explain all those things? Well, the John Hurt figure is fascinating because we always know that the Doctor is not the Doctor's name. The Doctor is the chosen title of an entity who has a past before the Doctor. And the implication is that the John Hurt figure will be whoever the Doctor was before he chose to be the Doctor. So he's going to do something horrible or terrible or make some decision that was done that the Doctor doesn't want to remember, and therefore that's the after that point is when he takes the mantle of the Doctor, if you like. And that's always been played off against the Master, who is sort of the evil yin to the Doctor's yang, if you like. So that's one thing. That's pretty straightforward. River Song is incredibly complicated and is an artifact of Stephen Moffat loving to play with time as sort of the ultimate MacGuffin. There's nothing you can't do if time is a variable. So River Song is the Doctor's future wife, but is also the daughter of one of his companions, so she is the daughter of Amy and Rory, which is really confusing unto itself.
And a bit weird.
Oh, it's very weird and very sort of strange and, you know, incestuous isn't quite the word, but it has certainly got some strange overtones.
So where to from here? Who were the front-running candidates for the next Doctor?
Well, I think everybody has an opinion, and I think that the British press in particular seems to really enjoy these periods of time where you can basically throw a name in the air and, you know, it can't be definitively wrong and somebody will eventually have to be right. But I know that Rupert Grint, who played the Ron Weasley in the Harry Potter films, has been widely discussed.
He'd be great.
And there have been plenty of jokes about the fact that the Doctor has never had red hair. Helen Mirren, I think, has been mentioned by a lot of people, although I think that will never happen.
That would certainly make the River Song story very weird.
Oh, wouldn't it just? That would be fantastically awkward. Someone like, I guess, Richard Madden, who played Robb Stark in Game of Thrones, who is also conveniently dating Jenna Louise Coleman, who plays the current companion, he'd be an interesting idea.
One final question, though. Who's the best Doctor ever?
The best Doctor ever, it entirely depends on who you remember in your youth, I think. But for me, it was Sylvester McCoy.
Controversial.
Always.
Well, we wait with bated breath to see
who is who.
Who? What the future
who
holds.
Who is the Doctor, indeed.
Tama Lever from Curtin University. On RN, you're listening to The List.